So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win.
The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a horse performance in the second half.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Been erroneous reports, people questioning my loyalty to him. That is absurd. Next question. Next question. Next question. Next question. Next question.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
You were 2-7, you'd be in a bad mood too.
What's happening, guys? Happy Thanksgiving. We'll just say that. Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to the Dynasty Warzone, the People's Dynasty podcast. On today's show, we're going to talk the Mount Rushmore of Dynasty fantasy football. Probably going to be a little bit different than you think. And speaking of different than you think, my normal co-host, the man of the hour, the man with the power, Mr. Jerry Sinclair, is traveling back to Detroit 8 Mile. It's not really, but he's going somewhere in Michigan, aka the Murder Mitten. And speaking of states with famous for homicide, New Jersey, the Garden State, a lot of mob problems taken care of out there. Maybe this guy is mobbed up. He is the producer of the show. We affectionately call him Producer Kevin. Kevin, thanks for hopping on the microphone side of the glass tonight.
Of course, man. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Happy to help out. Just excited to go, man. Happy Thanksgiving. In my opinion, the best holiday out there. Let's just do it, man. I'm happy to fill in for Jerry, ready to go. Let's talk some Mount Rushmore, man. This is going to be a great episode.
100%. Big shoes to fill. Filling in for my man Jerry. But you know what? It's good. I mean, if you had to drive all the way through Iowa, through Illinois, clip Indiana, as you're going into Michigan, you know, you deserve a break from the podcasting world, and it feels good to be streaming live on Player Profiler. Normally, you edit the show, upload the show on Thursdays, but since Thursday's a holiday, got with Theo. Theo was like, hey, man, roll live, do what you got to do to get the show out. So if you're on the way to grandma's house, your in-law's house, someone's house, hopefully we're keeping you entertained as you cruise by. And if you have a long drive, if you're on one of those longer drives, go into the Player Profiler podcast app, whatever you use, Spotify, Apple, whatever, and listen to First Class Fantasy with Billy Muzio and Theo Grimminger. I was their guest this week. We covered a lot of stuff like in seasonal leagues, how can you cover for Mark Andrews? Who is my biggest disappointment on the season? Who was my biggest surprise of the season? And just some extra content for you. And that's available over at the Player Profiler YouTube channel or wherever you get podcasts. Again, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, whatever. We are officially out there. So don't really have a good people, bad tweets, but I wanted to get your opinion on a subject that came up recently. So did you see the comments from Justin Jefferson? You know, people are obviously hounding this guy. Hey, are you playing? Hey, are you playing? Hey, are you playing? You know, and he was like, my health is way more important than, you know, any fantasy seasons or anything like that. I don't have a problem with this, I'll be honest, but I'll start with you. What was your thought with Justin Jefferson and his take there?
I don't know if this is a hot take being in the fantasy community, but I'm not a guy. Like, I realize that the NFL and them playing games is obviously way more important than it's annoying as a fantasy manager. I totally understand that, but I'm team. You never yell at a player for messing stuff up. Everything is out of your control, and we need to realize that. We're just here to predict things best we possibly can. And truthfully, I think it makes the most sense for them to actually not play him yet, especially if he's not ready. You know, they've been really on fire. They did just have a really pretty crushing loss. But they're in a pretty good spot. I think they're probably going to sneak into the wild card here. It is in their best interest long-term to not rush him back. So to me, I got no qualms at all with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with any of these guys because last week, and I told everybody on Twitter, it's like you keep that same energy because just a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was even last week, Mike McCarthy came out and said, he wasn't concerned about fantasy football. And Arthur Smith said the exact same thing. I don't feel like these coaches, these players, I don't feel like they owe us an explanation as fantasy gamers. It's like we know who they are, we know what they do, and this is who they are. Plan around it. And really, I don't feel as bad for content creators because those are the ones that I really think are the ones that are butthurt.
Yeah.
Because they did all these projections and predictions and they're not 100% right. So then we have to attack the players. We have to attack those that don't support the mission of burning Arthur Smith to the ground. I got news for you. We're going to play a Ric Flair drop later in the show. But as Mr. Flair once famously said, whether you like it or whether you don't, learn to live with it. And that's what you have with Arthur Smith. I mean, the guy's got he's right around 500 with the corpse of Matt Ryan, the corpse of Marcus Mariota, and trying to get as much juice out as he can out of guys like Desmond Ridder and Tyler Heinicke. I hope they trade for a real quarterback in the offseason so maybe this thing can go. But that's my take on this, and I just wanted to get yours before we jump into some Mount Rushmore.
My problem with Arthur Smith is he just doesn't give the ball to his good players. That's not really a fantasy question, which I think J.J. Zacharyson was kind of been arguing this entire time. Like, I'm not like, we know they don't care about fantasy. That's a totally part that doesn't matter to them. But I'm just more like, give your guys the ball. You drafted all these guys with extremely high draft capital. Use them. Why is John Smith your number one guy? Sorry, I have a problem with Arthur Smith. I just had to get that off a little bit. I'll let you continue doing your thing.
No. But for me, it's like I'll give you Bijan Robinson.
Right.
But if you want him to force feed Kyle Pitts or force feed Drake London, then he has to turn Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heinicke loose with the football. And if you haven't noticed, when they drop back to pass, there's this propensity to throw interceptions and lose fumbles. So when you have bad quarterback play, which is what he's always had,
right,
hand-me-downs, broken things, trying to piece it together, he's never really had a good quarterback in Atlanta. So I think there's going to be a ton of quarterback movement in the offseason.
For sure.
So, but maybe you think Desmond Ridder can rebound somewhere else, and maybe you wanted to play him like a stock. You know where you could do that, Kevin?
Tell me, Memphis.
Oh, come on, man. You know it's Mojo Fantasy.
I absolutely know it's Mojo Fantasy. Mojo Fantasy is the best.
It is.
This episode brought to you by Mojo. Mojo is that player stock market. We love Mojo because we like making lifetime bets on players. You run out the clock on these guys. Mojo just rolled out a brand new fantasy platform. That's right. So now you can build a portfolio of player props. Oh, Ja'Marr Chase, over 77.5. Oh, Kadarius Toney, under 15.5, whatever the under is on Kadarius Toney, doesn't matter. You can just stack up the props in your portfolio. And the beauty is, once the Sunday games kick off, it's not over. It's not over until it's over with Mojo, because once those games kick off, you can then move in and out of positions. Let's say that you're well ahead of expectations. You can cash out. Let's say you're behind expectations. You're underwater. Well, you can double down. That's what makes Mojo so special, why they're different. Check it out. Go to the App Store, get the Mojo app, and use the promo code UNDERWORLD. The promo code UNDERWORLD gets you a 100% deposit match up to $100. So the promo code is UNDERWORLD, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Go to Mojo, start building your portfolio, and then during the games, you can be a fantasy day trader.
Woo! Yeah, and our buddy Dallas is going to be here in a little bit. He's going to have a rookie in his prospect premonition series. So maybe you get that name, you go to Mojo, you use that code UNDERWORLD. You see what I'm putting together for you? Nice little way for you to start building that off-season portfolio, because who's the most likely to go up? These unknown rookie players. Sometimes a bad player can get good, but we're going to talk about good players that have been good for a long time. So I was listening to a different podcast, nothing to do with fantasy football, but their premise was, who was the Mount Rushmore of? You know, in this case, we're going to do dynasty fantasy football. Now, Kevin, how long have you been playing fantasy? I know you said since like second grade, but like when was that? And how long have you been playing dynasty?
I've been fantasy, I want to say since like 2002, 2003-ish area. I won't say that like when I was a kid, I was playing super serious, but like one of my buddies and I, we love sports. We actually had a league with our parents and it was a 6-team league. It was a whole thing just so we could play fantasy sports. So basically that was what got me into it. I got a lot more serious as like 7th and 8th grade, and then high school, I took off with it, college even more. Now, obviously I'm here. So I got to say pretty, for a 30-year-old, I'd like to think my range is pretty solid, pretty much anywhere in the 2000s, you know. Dynasty, though, I'd say more or less the last 5 to 7 years. So mainly just more redraft. So that's my history, at least for me.
Yeah, I started playing. I didn't start playing much before you. I started playing like right around 2000. Mm-hmm. And I have got an obsessive compulsive personality anyway. So if I'm into something, same. I'm all the way in. I mean, yeah. You're not going to be half in. And I've loved it ever since. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go over the guys that are, and again, this is Mount Rushmore. So this is what I need you to understand. It's not like, you know, President Obama was president, you know, in like the teens, the 2010s. And like, he didn't get elected. What was that? Like 2012.
Sure.
And then again in 16. You know, or whatever it was, they didn't automatically break out the jackhammers and construction equipment, and they didn't start carving his face on Mount Rushmore. That's not how it works. Maybe we look back in, you know, 20 years, 15 years, and we build that Mount Rushmore. We say, you know what? Retrospectively, that was a great presidency. We're gonna slap you on this big old rock, this big old mountain in the middle of the Dakotas. And that's where I came at from this. Guys that are still performing at a high level, but have performed at a high level right now. I wanted to put Justin Jefferson on there. Maybe you did. I don't know. But I came at this from guys that have really been good for that last 5 years, give or take. You know, if it was 4, it's fine. If it was more, then that's fine too. But looking at the guys who've had like a consistent track record of just really being a solid dynasty asset. So without any further ado, I'm going to let you go first. Give me the first member of your modern day Mount Rushmore.
Well, modern day. So when you, we sent the email out this morning about the, you know, the thumbnail and everything. And if you know you're on YouTube, you can see that thumbnail. I could not believe Christian McCaffrey was not in that said thumbnail. I just think it has to start with him. So for a running back standard, he's already been in here, 7 seasons actually. Has been absolutely lights out. Actually, in my 2 home league dynasty leagues, I have Christian McCaffrey. And I just thought, like, I just have such an advantage over my opponent. And if he is healthy, which has been a thing over the past few years, but he's been pretty healthy, there's no better feeling than throwing Christian McCaffrey in your lineup. And I can't think of a worse feeling seeing like this guy has Christian McCaffrey in your lineup. And it's just such a good feeling to see him just plastered in your RB1. I mean, week in and week out, to me, especially if you're in a PPR league. And just, I guess, just a side thing here. I think a lot of people are more down on Christian McCaffrey long term because of his age. I think going to San Francisco is incredible for him because I think Kyle Shanahan will be able to make him last a lot longer than most running back shelf lives. So that's my first guy. I couldn't believe he wasn't on the thumbnail. Go ahead.
Well, I'm actually going to go ahead and do my running back. Now, I didn't plan this to do a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end, and a quarterback. It just happened that way.
Sure.
But my running back is, and there's some recency bias to this, but my guy came out in that same draft class as Christian McCaffrey. My running back's Alvin Kamara. And if you look at his track record as a rookie, RB3, averaging 19.6 points a game. In 2018, he was the RB4. 23.6. In 2019, RB9. Yeah. 2020, the RB1 overall, averaged 25.2 PPR points a game. 2018, he was the RB8. Last year was his down year. You know, that year, that weird Taysom Hill. We didn't really have a quarterback. It was a bad transition without, you know, a stable quarterback. You know, Jameis, Taysom Hill, all those guys just weren't great. Still finished as RB16 and averaged 14 points a game. And then my man's back. He missed three games. He's had a bye, and yet here we are. He is the RB9 on the season in total points, averaging 20.5 PPR points a game. For me, it was the consistency. I didn't let the recency bias of 2022, because I think that's where a lot of people would argue for Christian McCaffrey, because he had such a great 2022 and Kamara was down. But, you know, unlike Christian McCaffrey in the years of 21 and 20, where CMC was hurt a large portion of those years, Kamara's never let you down. He's always been consistent, consistent, consistent. And much like you said with Christian McCaffrey, these guys play a style that is going to lend them to play probably 2-3 more years.
Right.
Really, really good. Same draft class. I love both guys. For me, it was I chose between, do I want the boom mega weeks? You know, Christian McCaffrey's 2019 was the second greatest running back PPR season of all time.
Right.
And I had to weigh that greatness versus the consistent greatness. Not as great, but more consistent. So for me, the consistency won my heart, and I went Alvin Kamara. Who is your other guy? Another guy? You have three to go.
Yes, yes. So my next guy stuck out to me for sure, and this is another guy that you just have been thrilled to have for at least 7-8 years, is Devontae Adams. Reading him off, like, touchdowns. So he has had double digits in six of his last seven seasons. This current season has not been as so great, but he is the wide receiver 12 as of this moment. We have 12 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, 13 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns, 18, 11, and 14. Inside that one window, it was he was 3, 1, 2, and 3 of overall wide receiver. Just absolute dominance him and Aaron Rodgers had for that huge stretch. I mean, it was absolutely lights out. I think a lot of people were worried when he went to Las Vegas, specifically last year. Continued his dominance, even with some bad quarterback play, even though it was his buddy Derek Carr. But this year has not been super great, but I still think you're pretty happy to have him in your team. To me, having that much consistency, and similar to your Kamara argument, this is basically the same thing on my end. Just absolute consistency where, once again, it's more of a, you know what you're getting, and you're getting high-end production. So between the two of the things, I think it's an incredible combo. And you know, we play for touchdowns. Whether you're, you know, back in the day, a lot of people were playing in standard leagues, which truthfully don't even exist anymore, but you play for touchdowns, and Devontae Adams was a touchdown machine for that entire window. I'm not sure how much he's looking up towards the future. It kind of seems like it's coming to an end here. We'll see how the rest of the season pans out. But still, I mean, I have him in one of my main teams, and I'm very happy to start him in my wide receiver spot for sure every week.
You know, I was so hyper-focused on the wide receiver that I chose that I didn't pick Devontae Adams, and now I kind of feel bad. Because to sit here and listen to you, you know, file through those stats and really share how dominant he's been.
Yeah.
Turns 31 next month. He's a Christmas Eve baby. I'm looking right at his player card, and he'll be 31, but I think he can get that age because, you know, by the time, you know, you get to December, the season's over. So this is his age 30 season. Such a pro, takes such good care of himself. And there was a report that Jets are going to go all in on trying to get Devontae Adams this offseason. They got their first back.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what they could offer to try and get Devontae Adams, and who knows what kind of long-term cap purgatory they would put themselves in. But you talk about a true pro.
Yeah.
The reuniting of him and Aaron Rodgers, very good. My guy lost his guy as well. He's been without his OG quarterback that really made him break out. And my guy's Tyreek Hill. And He is currently the wide receiver one. He's averaging 25.5 PPR points per game, but kind of what I did, the same kind of research I did with Alvin Kamara. As a rookie in 2017, as a rookie, you know, we know wide receivers don't always explode. He was the wide receiver 9 overall as a rookie. In 2018, he jumped up to the wide receiver 3. 2019, he dipped. He was the wide receiver 32 due to injury. He missed 4 games. But his points per game that year was still really good, 15.7. Then the last 4 years, 2 overall, 6 overall, 2 overall, 1 overall. He's done it with 3 quarterbacks. He's done it with Alex Smith. He's done it with Patrick Mahomes. He's doing it right now with Tua Tagovailoa. And he's got another good wide receiver opposite him, like he did in Kansas City with Travis Kelce. He's quarterback proof. He's matchup proof. He's teammate proof. I do kind of feel bad that I didn't, you know, think of Davante Adams that same way. It's just that, you know, this is maybe where I fell into that recency bias. I only see that he was the wide receiver 2 last year. I only see that he's a dominant wide receiver 1. But you go back and look at his track record, I think it's pretty impressive in its own right. So I think neither one of these guys is the wrong answer.
No, not at all. My thing on Tyreek is, because he was definitely in consideration, and we were talking before the show, and I was even kind of thinking, like, Tyreek has to be one of the most dangerous fantasy players of all time. He is probably one of the true players that when you see against him, you're like, oh, there's a really good chance he could just go off and I don't even have a chance this week. Probably with the highest fear factor, I guess. The thing with Tyreek that made me actually not put him on my list is that I think with his crazy games, it kind of skewed his ranking in the receiver category for a few years. You know, when you're having 50-point games or whatever, but next week you might have had 9 or you might have had 6. I think for a lot of those Kansas City years, he wasn't necessarily the most consistent. It was almost like insane boom or bust. You felt good and you didn't really get, like, you know, really screwed. But I think there was a lot of variance there with Tyreek, which kind of gave me some hesitancy on Tyreek. But I mean, seriously, though, with the highest upside maybe of all time.
Yeah, I don't want to be the old guy who waxes poetic about back in my day, you know, because I did this research. I was looking, you know, I was looking at Terrell Owens. I was looking at Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald was in there. But when you think about speed and acceleration and, like, fear, Tyreek Hill has to be right up there. And the fact that he's like 5'10", and I think I'm being generous saying that he's 5'10". To think that he's 5'10 and strikes fear in defenses and defensive coordinators the way that the big guys, the Randy Mosses, again, the guys that I just mentioned.
The way that he
plays the game is fun. So I try not to lose on the fact that he is a lot of fun. Now I'm going to go ahead and do the tight end because I think the tight end's probably the same for both of us. And it's Travis Kelce. It's Travis Kelce. Didn't play much as a rookie, barely at all. Since then, tight end 7, tight end 9, tight end 1, tight end 1, tight end 1, tight end 1, tight end 1.
It's ridiculous.
Tight end 2, tight end 1. Yeah. Do you know in 2021 who broke his streak of tight end of what had been 5 straight tight end 1 overall finishes?
Was it Mark Andrews?
It was Mark Andrews. Yeah. That was the big huge year with Lamar.
Yeah.
So but just so dominant. I was for sure. Now last year's season was great, but it wasn't the greatest tight end PPR season of all time. Did you know that?
I did actually know that.
It was Rob Gronkowski's 2013. Like, he was just snatching souls that year. Like, a healthy Gronk. People forget Gronk and Kelce are about the same age. But
I found this out like a week ago, and I was like, because my buddies and I were talking about it. I'm like, how are they the same age? Because you just mentally, like, Gronk's retired and Kelce's out here still being the tight end 1. And Gronk kind of was a little better earlier, I guess. It's crazy.
Gronk, I mean, you can't really compare the quarterbacks. I mean, because Kelce was doing good work with Alex Smith.
Yep.
You know, that's what, you know, Andy Reid obviously gets some credit. And then, you know, we poured gasoline like on a points per game basis with Travis Kelce once he got going with Patrick Mahomes. Not only did he stay the tight end one, but he elevated his points per game. He became the cheat code.
Yes.
You know, he was the guy, I invented the term Kelce Buster, like in the Marvel Universe in the second Avengers movie, Tony Stark created a Hulk Buster suit. You have to, when you play in leagues, especially tight end premium leagues, you have to have hopefully a guy that could be a Kelce Buster. And he did that, and George Kittle was that for me last year, but consistently no one beat Kelce in that position. Did you have a different tight end, or was it just pretty much like it was – unanimous?
No, there was an absolute no-brainer. The thing is exactly what you just said. Like, there's really, like, you can talk all you want about Christian McCaffrey, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, etc. When you see Kelce on the other team, you are at a disadvantage. It's just that simple, which makes it so tough, because unless you are the Kelce manager, you're going to be down at that one position. That's a guarantee. And I mean, this is, we're talking for 7+ years now, 8 years. You know, Mark Andrews did have that, so you can counter him and still feel pretty good. But like I said, there's really nothing more than comfort having him in your lineup every single week. So yeah, he was an absolute no brainer for me.
All right. Well, you got one more bust, one more head to carve into your Mount Rushmore. Who is your fourth guy? Who is the fourth guy on your Mount Rushmore?
So does it have to be a quarterback? Does we go?
No. It's Mount Rushmore. It's like, you know, when you do the presidents, it's not like, well, we got a guy from the 60s and we got, no, it's just, it's your Mount Rushmore.
Well, I went and picked a quarterback anyway, cause I think I know who you're taking. So I'm sticking with the Chiefs and actually going with Patrick Mahomes. And mainly a lot of this is because what he has already done and what he's going to continue to do. I mean, basically the best quarterback for sure in football. Now I know who you're taking, so I'm going to save that, but essentially, you know what you're getting with Patrick Mahomes always. And truthfully, I think the safety of it and the fact that he also can run, and he also just, if you stacked him with Kelce, just that absolute murder's row of a stack. To me, it's just the safety of knowing who he is. You know, and he just had some lights out seasons. You know, he's the quarterback one twice. He's been a QB1 his entire career. A high-end QB1, a pretty much top four season every single year except 2019. This year hasn't been super great, but the thing is, he's going to be continuously like this for 6 more years, I'd say, minimum. And, you know, watching just Monday Night Football last week, the dude is so sneaky, can always run, can always get you that more points too. So he's going to do it even with bad weapons too, which makes it like he's, I guess, weapon-proof. So even though he doesn't have Tyreek and all that stuff, to me, just knowing you have Patrick Mahomes, like, he is the reason why he's probably been the number one pick in dynasty leagues for years and years to come. It's safety. It's knowing that he's the guy.
Now, I respect your answer. And I think part of the thing that Patrick Mahomes gets is he gets the touchdown boost.
Right.
We ignore the fact that, you know, he's not been consistently great. Like this year, he is currently the QB 10. He's had three games,
right,
where he scored more than 20, what I call ESPN basic bitch scoring games. three over 20. And he is, like I said, his name carries a lot of weight, and it should. He's very, very good. They clearly need to get him some help in the offseason, and I hope they do.
Sure.
But there's only one answer for if you're going quarterback. You didn't have to go quarterback. There's only one. It's Josh Allen. It's not even close. So as a rookie, he didn't play all the games, but as a rookie, he finished as the QB 21, but he averaged 17.3 points a game. So like once he got going, pretty good. Second year, QB 6, 18 points a game. Oh, then when the magic happens, 2020, QB 1, 2021, QB 1, 2022, QB 2. He finished second to Patrick Mahomes, except he got the DeMar Hamlin game taken away from him.
Yeah.
Had he scored 15 PPR ESPN points in that game, he would have overtaken Patrick Mahomes for the QB1. Oh, in this season, he's the QB1. All this guy does is just kick ass. It's like, I can never figure out in Dynasty, like, why when we do it. And he's 27, by the way. He's about one calendar year older than Joe Burrow. And I think people see the interceptions, but does it matter? He's the running quarterback that doesn't. I'll jinx him. He'll get hurt this weekend. He's the guy who doesn't get hurt. Tear a UCL, we'll play through it. Hurdle linebackers and jump over people, rush. He just does it all. And I don't know what it is. I think there's this, and I think there's this bias that so many content creators missed on him in that rookie year and in that second year.
Sure.
That I always think that there's this stigma he's never going to get the credit for. He's always going to be behind Mahomes. I have no idea why he's behind Jalen Hurts. We have a guy who's done, you know, top six 5 years in a row, half a decade of dominance. But we would rather have the guy who could maybe do that.
Hurts hasn't been really that great this year.
So let me get this straight. You can have the guy who could do it, or you can have the guy that all he does is do it.
Right.
Now, I will be fair. I don't have a Ric Flair drop that says, to be the man, you got to beat the man, and right now I'm the man.
Right.
That's Josh Allen. To be the man, to be the QB1, you got to take it from Josh Allen, and currently no one's doing that. But I do have a Ric Flair drop. I do have this one.
I'm a killer. I'm the dirtiest player in the game. I know one thing, win at all costs.
That's kind of apropos.
Yeah, I like
Josh that. Is a killer. Josh Allen is a killer. So, hey, real quick, we're going to recap this, and then we're going to get into some historic all-time, you know, Thanksgiving's about, you know, CBS does a great job, and Fox does too, with, you know, remembering the Madden and Pat Summerall, and they share that history. So we're going to go through and we're going to give you our all-time fantasy and dynasty Mount Rushmore. But real quick before we do that, won't you recap your four?
So I went with Christian McCaffrey. You want me to talk about them, or you want to say who I have?
Just recap for maybe those that are just like jumping in, you know, live stream. Give us your Mount Rushmore. They can go back and listen to the reasons.
So we have Christian McCaffrey, Davante Adams, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. That's my lovely face of Mount Rushmore. My coworker just went to Mount Rushmore. Shout out to John. He did not see these faces, which might have been actually kind of cool if you show up and see like their faces, like Christian McCaffrey and stuff. But anyway, you.
First of all, if you've never been to Mount Rushmore, I have.
I have not.
It's cool, but then you feel so disappointed because you go.
That's what he just told me. My coworker just told me that. Yeah, exactly.
You go. You take like a really cool hour tour. You get to read some of the history of like how they built it and like, you know, what they do to upkeep it. And then you're great. It's not like it's Vegas where like, you know, they have a ton, or Disney World or Orlando where you fly in, ton of flights, easy to get. You ain't got any of that. Sure. You get to drive to BFE. Was that South Dakota? North Dakota?
Yeah.
Whatever. South. It's brutal. But you know what? If you're in the area, it's a nice detour on the way to, like, if you're like RVing to Yellowstone. My Mount Rushmore, Josh Allen, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Alvin Kamara. Fair?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with either list, in my opinion.
All right. So what we're going to do is normally our boy Dallas stops by. Now, maybe this guy in like 20 years could be on the Mount Rushmore of Dynasty Fantasy Football. I don't know. This is a great going to do a callback to the little call out on Mojo. Maybe you add this person to your Mojo account.
Welcome to this week's episode of the DWZ. That's right, the Dynasty Warzone's very own Prospect Premonition. And as always, I am your host, Dallas. You can find me on all the socials at Salad Galore, Dallas spelled backwards with double L galore. Great to be here, guys. And we're just going to dive right in. For those of you not privy to what the Prospect Premonition is, you haven't been listening, make sure to go back and listen to the last couple episodes. But each week, I take a under the radar, or in this week's case, kind of a unknown wide receiver, unknown player prior to the 2023 NCAA college football season that I have looked inside of my crystal ball and I've seen success for your dynasty teams, looking like a pretty successful year on most of the picks thus far. But this is a guy that has been a rocket in evaluation and value for Dynasty and Devy alike over the course of the last 3 months. And that is none other than Mr. Malik Washington, University of Virginia Cavaliers. And he's a wide receiver that, you know, a lot of question marks ultimately going around right now. A lot of very interesting things happening with this offense. There's not a lot of production outside of him. And in an ACC conference, there are always going to be question marks about your success at the wide receiver position. But when it comes to Malik Washington and what I see with the University of Virginia and that offense, there's only one thing of note on the offense in general at all, and it is Malik Washington, and teams still cannot stop him. He's got one of the most unique builds out of any prospect that's going to come out this year, or really has come out in the last couple of years. He's sitting at like 5'8". I think that's legitimately about how tall he is. He maybe even dips into that 5'7" Rondell Moore size, but the main difference between Rondell Moore and Malik Washington is Malik Washington's right around 200 pounds at that height, and he's a wide receiver. And like I said, his build's extremely unique. He reminds me more of a running back playing wide receiver. And the first thing I see when I watch his tape and I see him on the field, the guy he reminds me the most of coming out of college is Curtis Samuel. Coming out of Ohio State, kind of that tweener, that running back, that wide receiver mold. But looking at the 2023 regular NCAA season, he already, over the course of 10 games, has 1,300 receiving yards, 96 receptions, and 9 touchdowns. If it weren't for one game against Boston College where he snuck in at 97 yards as opposed to 100 yards, he would have gone 9 straight games with over 100 yards receiving already on the season. It's been the same story against top 10 offenses, top 10 defenses, top 10 teams. He's played Tennessee, UNC, and Louisville, all ranked inside of the top 12 at the time of playing. They lost all of those games, and still he put up over 100 yards against all of them except for Tennessee. Tennessee was the opener, and that was probably the most embarrassing loss that Virginia had the entire time. When I watch Malik Washington, there's not a lot on his tape, really, when it comes to speed or athleticism that pops out. But what does pop out is his ability to be extremely shifty with the ball in his hands. Breaking tackles, breaking angles, that type of thing is where he lives. And that's why he reminds me more of a running back while I'm watching him. He's a very unique build, and I don't think he's going to be a true wide receiver that comes into the NFL, even though he has proven since his time transferring from Northwestern this year at the University of Virginia that he's very capable with his hands. He's very sure-handed. He's very, very capable in route running. But the thing is, he doesn't get a ton of separation before the ball, which is kind of funny considering how shifty he is after the ball is in his hands. He's one of the best open field movers in this year's class, and it was very surprising. He's a guy I didn't have anywhere on my list and a guy that a lot of people didn't have on their list. But he's going to be a very unique prospect, and I do want to caution extreme reaches for him, but there's no reason that he can't be more successful than some of the other kind of hybrid players that we've seen of recent note. For me, it's not the same type of athletic separation as this guy, but he does remind me a little bit of Kadarius Toney, a little bit of that rawness, that movement ability with the ball in his hands, the ability to slip out. The thing is, he's a much better receiver overall and a much better route runner than what Mr. Kadarius Toney has been and was in college. So if you want two guys that you can look at when you look at Malik Washington and when you're watching the tape and kind of get a feel for what they might be in the NFL, think of the two gadgety players. That's most likely what you're going to get, or maybe even a transition to running back. I don't know. We'll see what the draft scouts think, but Curtis Samuel and Kadarius Toney are the two guys that this guy reminds me of the most. Athletic testing is the biggest question mark that I have for him, as well as his ability to separate early in routes. A little bit concerning if you're not super fast to be able to do that separation early. So a good combine could really skyrocket his overall draft value going forward. He is a true senior. We should see him in all of the primetime draft-related bowls. So make sure to keep your eyes out for Malik Washington. He's a name you are definitely going to be hearing a lot about over the next couple of weeks and next couple of months as the draft season kicks up. And he's a guy that, as I said, is destined for success in 2024 when he inevitably gets drafted and pops up in some kind of surprising value. Until next week, this has been the Prospect Premonition, and get ready for another big boy tight end on next week's episode.
There you go. Our buddy Dallas at Salad Galore does a ton of rookie content for us at the Dynasty Warzone. This is why you subscribe to the Dynasty Warzone YouTube channel and podcast channel, because you get a lot of extra shows, not just me and Jerry or the simulcast of the Player Profiler show, but additional shows. We're going to try to get Kevin to do a show in the off season. Yeah. We'll see what comes of that. But let's quickly go through our all-time Mount Rushmore. You've been playing for 20 years. I've been playing for a little bit longer than that. Who is on your all-time Mount Rushmore? And just give me a little reason why.
So starting off on my list, in my opinion, I mentioned this pre-show, the greatest fantasy football player of all time, and then everybody knows who I'm talking about, is LaDainian Tomlinson. I was happy to be a LaDainian Tomlinson owner. His magnificent most points of a all-time season, 481 PPR points, which he had 1,800 rushing yards, 28 rushing touchdowns, 508 reception yards, along with three more touchdowns. So he had 31 total touchdowns. Is that good, Memphis?
LaDainian Tomlinson was on my list.
He is.
LaDainian Tomlinson is so good that we had guys that if they didn't get the 101 in drafts, they would just quit.
Yes,
100%. Like it was like I remember when Michael Vick first popped on the scene and Randy Moss in Madden. Like we had a no Moss, no Vick rule. And that's really how it felt like with like my league mates in my oldest league. It's 21 years old. And I remember just people like the first couple of years, they just quit. You didn't get LT. I mean, you and I did the research. He had six straight years with 300 or more PPR points, including that big year. And then he had eight straight years where he had 273 or more.
That's
so, you know, you try to have eight straight years. So imagine Christian McCaffrey, but for eight straight years, no injuries, just consistently year in, year out, week in, just smashing people. And this is important because I didn't save the tweet because it was probably 6 months to a year ago. I was interacting with a young fella, as you young Sparkies can get out there on, you know, X. And it was, you know, he was trying to tell me that Christian McCaffrey was the greatest fantasy asset of all time. I said, how dare you?
That's insane.
How dare you? I think this young man was maybe all of 20, had never really given thought to LaDainian Tomlinson. It's shameful, but that's the cool thing. If you're one of our younger listeners, this is great. Maybe you're stuck in the car on the way to grandma's house, or your significant other's driving to your mother-in-law's, whatever it is. Take your phone, pause this podcast, and go watch LaDainian Tomlinson highlights. You know, there are guys that still do his celebration. You know, they do the football flick. It's like, you know, defensive backs when Deion Sanders. There are guys who still do Deion's high step as they return a pick six.
Yeah,
this dude was a legend. I love the LT call. Did you have anything else on him?
Yeah. So in his tenure with the San Diego Chargers, yes, that is correct. The San Diego Chargers for you youngins. In his career with the Chargers. So, which was, I believe, 10 seasons. He missed a total of 3 games. Let me check that right one. Yeah, 11 season, missed 3 games. I mean, it's crazy to me. And then he kind of went with the Jets, which was kind of like a, you know, off in the sunset, which all running backs historically have done. But seriously, the best way to put it is exactly what you said. People would quit when they found out they did not get the number one pick, and they would literally hand a trophy to that person. It was just that much of an advantage because, I mean, back then, points, I think, were scored a lot less than they were now. So imagine having Christian McCaffrey back then when everybody else was having, like, current RB2s. I mean, it just was not fair. And just it was just like, you would just laugh. You're like, I got LT. I'm good. It was just that simple. Simpler times back then, man.
It sure was. Now, obviously, LT was on my list as well. There is no fantasy football dynasty. There's no single. There's no Mount Rushmore that does not include LT. I'll be honest. I'm gonna bring him up as like an honorable mention. So LT, that's on both of ours, right?
Yeah.
As an honorable mention, because Travis Kelce belongs on this as well, the all time. But we already talked about, you know, Travis Kelce. So I'm gonna call this guy an honorable mention. And for me, it was Tony Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. Because Tony Gonzalez for so long was just so good at giving fantasy points. Now, his best seasons do not, you know, compare to the best seasons of Gronk or Travis Kelce's best seasons. But for a real long time, he was the tight end one or two for about a decade. Incredible. You know, there was the intermingling of Antonio Gates, and, you know, there'd be a guy here or there. But like every year, tight end one, tight end two, tight end one, tight end two. But the reason why I took him from on my Mount Rushmore of all time down to historical is simply because he did not hit the point totals that he did. And to his credit, he played well into his 30s, just like Kelce has. I just wanted to bring him up because I did the research and might as well bring it up on the show. But that's my honorable mention because I can't not say Kelce's on the all-time tight end Mount Rushmore.
To me, yeah, Kelce should be on this list. I bypassed him because we also did just talk about him as well. I did have Tony Gonzalez on my list, though. So I'll just kind of go off of what you said. Tony Gonzalez was incredible. And to not repeat what we said about Kelce, but it was the same thing. When you had Tony Gonzalez, you knew what you were getting, and that was guaranteed. Like, that was absolutely guaranteed. Another guy who over his, I don't even know, he played from 1997, let me make sure that's right, yeah, to 2013. He missed, count them, two games. That's incredible. You weren't getting any injuries. A tight end, even nowadays, Kelce kind of changed the standard on this, but he had 1, 2, 3, 4 seasons over 1,000 yards, and two of them were over 1,200 yards. He had multiple seasons with double-digit touchdowns. I think he finished as a tight end 1, 4 times. Once again, it's just that once points were a lot different back then, and tight ends weren't scoring like that, and they were not getting, you know, a good tight end for your team might get like 400 receiving yards back in the early 2000s. So when your tight end is throwing out there and he's getting receiver numbers, I mean, the pace of play and everything has changed so much in the future, and not to sound like an old dude, but like, I mean, it really was a different game. You know, they're not going for it on fourth down then. Fourth and one, they're punting. Fourth and inches, they're still probably punting. So many different changes in the game now, which we're spoiled and it's changed for the absolute better. But I think it's definitely a point that needs to be brought up that, like, we look at these historical numbers and, like, actually, you know, I looked up the all-time quarterback seasons. Every single quarterback is a recent quarterback. It's not even close. I mean, the only one that even comes up is Tom Brady's 07 season. I mean, it's everybody recently, and Peyton Manning's 2013 season, which I'd argue are the two best seasons of all time comparatively to the other standings. But that's my main takeaway, though, for when I pick these guys. I think it's such a big thing when there's that competitive advantage in the same position, you know, when you're that much better than the next guy. Because, you know, okay, there's this many amount of points or whatever for the quarterback, but when, you know, Tony Gonzalez is averaging this many points, say 15, 16 points a game, and the next guy's averaging like 8, like, that's crazy. So that's my main takeaway with that and in general.
I don't hate it. It's time for me to be a homer, but you made a very good point there. And you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to collect myself. I want to make sure that I'm going to sneak in one more commercial because it's, you know, Black Friday, and you want to go to Player Profiler. There's going to be the biggest Black Friday sale ever. You'll have to go to the website, check it out on Friday. But since it's Thursday, we might as well tell you about one of the Dynasty products available over at Player Profiler.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player, and you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the Price Lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer, so you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team, and then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing, and it's going to be well worth it.
There you go. I can't promise you that the Dynasty Dominator package is going to be on sale, but I did hear Theo and Billy. Again, I was on First Class Fantasy with them on Monday. Podcast came out today that there's going to be a Black Friday sale. So go to playerprofiler.com, check it out. I'm a shameless shill. But anyway, I'll tell you who else I'm shameless about. If you're watching on YouTube, you see the Colts hat. For me, the quarterback that I remember being dominant is Peyton Manning. And I look at his points per game, and I looked at Tom Brady as well. I mean, these are guys that averaged around 18 ESPN points per game. And you start thinking about how the rules have changed. Like, we live in the golden age of quarterback play. There are currently, I'm looking at it right now, there are currently more than 10 guys averaging more points per game this year than Peyton Manning did throughout his career. Now, he had the amazing 5,200 yards passing and then 55 passing touchdowns that magical year. I think it was 2013. Yes. That might be the greatest quarterback season that I remember. Mm-hmm. But to put it in context, I don't want to take away what he and the Colts did during that time. And I don't want to try to make it sound like it was better because the rules are different. Just at that time, if you had Peyton Manning, you had such a cheat code over everybody else, because outside of the one season with his neck that he missed in Indy, caused Andrew Luck to show up, and then went to Denver, he was top three quarterback every year. He was that good, man. I mean, he's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. And then obviously when it comes to Super Bowls and whatever, mm-hmm. Tom Brady's the GOAT. But I put Peyton Manning on mine.
I could not agree more. I didn't put him, but I really wanted to. Mostly I let you take your Colts. You know, I let you take your Colts. That 2013 season was kind of when I was getting into my peak of fantasy. And that that Denver team was incredible. And just kind of to vibe off some old times, Julius Thomas, I picked him up, I want to say, the day before the season started, and might have been my best move ever. I picked him up in all my leagues. I was probably in five leagues at that time. I was in four leagues at that time. I won all four leagues, mostly because I think I had Peyton Manning in almost most of them. I stacked him with Julius Thomas. It was crazy. And one thing I want to bring up, and for people that have only played fantasy in recent years, quarterbacks used to go round one in almost like every draft. A lot of home leagues, you know, you're in smaller leagues. But like these people, I would like to say Peyton Manning put the fear of God into these people because they were tired of getting beat by Peyton Manning. And back when, you know, 6 points per touchdown was the normal, you just couldn't compete with it. When he was throwing four or five touchdowns per game, it was just incredible. You would just get blasted. And I remember my one league, I had a one keeper league, and my cousin had Peyton Manning, and it was just unbelievable. And he just rolled that league, and it was a dynasty, honestly. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so do you have one more, or do you have two more?
I have two more, but we can do one more. It's up to you.
No. It's not Mount Rushmore without four.
Of course. So I just feel like this needs to be brought up. And I don't love this pick because of mainly I've been going for consistency, but, mine is Antonio Brown. To me, he had, and we're not going off of craziness or any current recent things, but, his tenure in Pittsburgh was just absolutely incredible. He was elite for a good 6 to 7 seasons. Now, he also has number 3 and number 4 best season of all time, which none of the other greats can say that they're even twice in the top 10. besides Randy Moss. So to me, I think he gets kind of thrown away because he's not probably one of the greatest receivers of all time. But from a fantasy perspective, he was absolutely unreal. And he was electric for his few seasons that he was there. I mean, truthfully, in Dynasty, if you can get 6 to 7 top tier seasons, to me, you're good. You're gold. I mean, that there you cannot ask for more. So I don't think it's realistic to kind of picture someone being top tier for 10 years anymore, especially nowadays. But yeah, I just wanted to bring up Antonio Brown and stuff, but I'll let you go off of that.
I've got one more guy, so I'm gonna go last because mine's going to be controversial. Okay. So I'm going to let you go with your final guy.
My final guy, and I kind of came into his career towards the end, but mine's Marshall Faulk, mostly because the greatest show on turf. But he was incredible for his entire career. I mean, we have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 seasons he played. He played from 1994 to 2005 and was unbelievable for the entire thing. I don't need to say a ton here. You know, we're getting close to our hour mark, but he does have the third best season of all time, which was 2000 greatest show of turf. You know, 18 touchdowns, 1,400 yards, 8 more receiving touchdowns, 2,600 total yards. He was incredible. That team was amazing. They were so much fun to watch. When I was truly getting into football, you know, he was a mainstay of that. So I just want to give a shout out to Marshall Faulk.
You know, he's not on my list, but the guy who he replaced, who replaced him rather in Indianapolis, Edgerrin James.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people would say, oh, well, they really screwed up. You got rid of Marshall Faulk. I'm like, I don't know. Edgerrin James is a Hall of Famer.
He is. Yeah. Back to back. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the Colts, you know, people can say what they want about Bill Polian. You know, people, you know, everybody loses that zip on their fastball eventually. But there for a while, man, Bill Polian was just murdering the draft. Yeah, I mean, 100%. So many good guys. And because they were paying guys like Peyton Manning so much money, he was always finding those gems. And then the guy who replaced Edgerrin James, Joseph Addai, not a Hall of Famer, had a pretty good career. So anyway, my guy, again, shameless. It's going to be controversial. But remember, I like consistency. And when the time when I was really getting into fantasy football, he was basically, to use some of the stats that you used in Antonio Brown, he's Antonio Brown, pre-Antonio Brown, and minus the CTE and shenanigans, it's Marvin Harrison. Dude, Marvin Harrison was just absolutely crushing people. His 2002, he had 384 points, PPR points. Put that in perspective, that's better than Justin Jefferson's last year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite as good as Cooper Kupp's 2021. Now imagine a guy who gave you 300 points or more for 8 straight years. All he did was give you 1,000 plus. Now I say 1,000, that makes it sound like he was around 1,000. This guy had 15, 16, 1,700 yard seasons. And then 8 straight seasons of double digit touchdowns. He was boring. He was quiet. Allegedly shot and killed a guy at a Philadelphia car wash. You know, again, you know more about that being from that area of the country.
Yeah.
But Marvin Harrison was and also to put this in perspective, this is also at the same time when Peyton Manning was not only feeding Marvin Harrison, he was feeding Reggie Wayne, who's a borderline Hall of Famer. Dallas Clark had a great run during that time. You know, you had Brandon Stokely, and you had all these ancillary third wide receivers. But they had three receivers 1 year have 10 touchdowns. As crazy as that is to say, and Marvin Harrison never dipped in production. Other guys that I really enjoyed, you know, looking at their numbers and having that look at the past, Terrell Owens.
Yeah, but again,
not as consistent. He played a more physical game and fought some injuries. Really good, though. Averaged like 18 PPR points for his career. And that was a hell of a career. Randy Moss had the magical 2007.
Yes.
That was a crazy season. You know, Larry Fitzgerald had a very consistent, you know, run. But just year in, year out, we're talking dynasty, what we do. Because this is what we're looking for. We're looking to find the next, you know, Marvin Harrison or the, I mean, because it's consistent dominance. So that was my final guy. I know I'm a homer. I know I'm biased, but I wasn't not bringing up Marvin Harrison. And you know what? Now maybe his son comes in here.
Right.
And dominates for,
imagine,
you know, 12
if he's
years.
Even close to his dad. I mean, we're talking about an absolutely insane asset there.
If he plays like his dad, except he's way bigger than his dad. Right. If you go back and watch Marvin Harrison Sr., he's a very slight gentleman. He's about Tyreek Hill height.
Yeah.
But like super thin build. Yeah. And like he was a catch and fall down guy. And, you know, and so much fun. But, you know, speaking of fun, we got to get this thing, you know, you got to do your audio. I'm sorry, I'm doing the audio. You're doing the video. We both got to do some production to make sure that, you know, this is ready for social media. But we just wanted to take a minute, do an interesting topic, give the stock report a break for a week. Got producer Kevin on. What are you and the family doing for Thanksgiving?
Tomorrow I am hosting my wife's entire side of the family. She's one of five. The youngest of five. So there'll be, everybody has multiple kids besides ourselves. So there's going to be like 23 of us, just immediate family, plus my parents are included in that. I'm an only child. It's doing that. And then Sunday with my family, extended family, at my cousin's house. And we're doing that. What about yourself?
So I worked in retail. I ran Dick's Sporting Goods stores for a lot of years. And my mom has gotten the habit of doing Thanksgiving with our family on Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because I could never be there on Thursday. And I never really wanted to be honest. I just wanted to like do as little as possible until I had to, you know, make sure work got taken care of. But then, you know, 5 years ago, switched careers and, you know, I'm actually off on Thanksgiving, but my wife hit me up with hey, do you want to drive up to my parents' house? Sure. Love to. So I've decided we're going to our in-laws.
Nice.
We'll drive up before the Lions game starts and we'll leave halftime of the Cowboys game. Okay. As long as I can get home and like really sit down and enjoy the late game. And then we got Black Friday football this year. So, I mean, it's going to be this is really shaping up with the NFL adding the Friday night game. This is in all the rivalries in college football. You know, you got Bama, Auburn, obviously the big ones, Michigan and Ohio State. For sure. Just a tremendous weekend of football. Thursday, three good, and the games are pretty good, to be honest. Friday, you know, it was supposed to have been better. You know, it was supposed to be Tua versus, you know, Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers didn't do his part.
That would have been incredible.
Great slate of games. We got Philadelphia and Buffalo this weekend. We've got some really good games, so a lot to be thankful for on the football front and a lot to be thankful for just in life in general. So on behalf of the Dynasty Warzone, I want to thank you guys for listening, supporting us on Player Profiler. Kev, I want to thank you. You've been a tremendous producer for the show since you've been with us while we've been here at Player Profiler, and you've done a great job on this side of the microphone, and I appreciate you hopping on. So I didn't have to do this alone, and so that Jerry can go visit his family in the murder mitten.
Absolutely. I want to give one more shout out to Uncle Ted in the comments. Antonio Gates has to be on the Mount Rushmore. That is a great one, and he was absolutely unbelievable for years and years. Probably, truthfully, now to say that, one of my favorite go-to guys for years. Did you know he played basketball?
He was a cheat code. Yeah, we 100% a cheat code. By the way, while we're giving shout outs and shame on me for not doing it until the end, I should have done it sooner. Neil Gray. Neil, his Twitter handle is NRG and a bunch of numbers. I follow him. I just retweeted it the other day. So go to @DWZMemphis. Scott Fish was tweeting him. Neil finished in the Scott Fish Bowl, fourth overall. Undefeated season. Now, mind you, this is the largest tournament in fantasy sports. He has, you know, a perfect record.
It's crazy.
A perfect record and like fourth in overall and total points scored. And this is 2 years in a row, mind you. Last year, he was top 10 as well. And another little tip of the cap to Tyler Orginski, who works with the JWB. Fantasy Network. He used to do DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, for us last year. His former co-host is, you know, went a different direction. So those guys didn't do a show for the Dynasty Warzone this year. But we want to shout out Neil. Neil is our admin. If you join up over at patreon.com/Dynasty Warzone, he's the one who helps get you squared away. I give you the link. I get you in the group chats. And then when we start doing orphans and all of that stuff, and, you know, Neil's great. He's like the sweetest guy in the whole world. But he's like that one that'll come knocking on your door to pay your patron dues for the patron leagues. It's great. Yes. But yeah, just a shout out to Neil and a shout out to Tyler. Those guys, Tyler finished like 48.
That's so
and you bad. Might say, well, how many people were in there? Like 3,600.
Yeah.
And to finish that high is a pretty, pretty amazing feat. But, guys, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go wrap this thing up so we can go hang out with our family the rest of the weekend. But thank you for being part of our Dynasty family. So Kevin, thank you. Safe travels on Sunday to the family. And, on behalf of Kev, my name is Memphis, and remember, here at the Dynasty Warzone, we're just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football. Jerry will be back next week, and so will the Stock Report. Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.